Welcome to Bleed Geek. This is episode number 13. We're bringing you the latest news on this very warm and muggy afternoon and evening in Randy's apartment on August 18th. We'll bring you the news of the week of the 14th, August 14th, 2011. I'm Patrick McGivern.
I'm Mike Girl.
And special guest today we have
Matt Fowler. Just finished up helping out with the first Point After Attempt podcast. So I'm just hanging out a little bit tonight.
So watch for that coming soon.
Sound pretty good. I kind of came in as you guys were recording. So very interesting. Looks like you guys know your stuff. Had some picks and stuff going down, some stats,
Pat's sniping it out. Now he's gonna have the inside scoop for his upcoming draft here.
That's right. I'm going to have that for our draft and then also our company draft, which I got to just annihilate everyone in because I know absolutely nothing about football, and that would just be funny to me.
That's why I should get a work fantasy football league going with all the middle-aged females I work with at my preschool job.
There you go.
I could rock it there.
At the very least, you could do like picks or something, like weekly picks.
Definitely.
Yeah. Noticeably missing tonight will be Mr. Randy Orvis, even though we are in his apartment anyway. But he is off on his way to the wilderness, I guess. He's leaving technology behind for the weekend.
Although he's still signed in the G-chat all the time.
Today? He just left today.
Did he just leave today?
Yeah,
that makes sense for him.
Yeah. They left this afternoon.
Got it. I was like, wow, they get great reception in the wild.
Yeah, no, he just left.
It's 3G, possibly 4G soon. You hold out.
LTE coming to you soon. We're live right now, obviously, so if you're listening, you know that, even though we are late today because of other stuff we were doing earlier. But generally, we kick off every Thursday at 8. But if not, you can always find us on iTunes and look for us on our website, bleedgeek.com. With that, I think we might as well just get into it since we're already running behind.
Yeah, I'd say let's just kick it off with some good Google news.
Yeah, this week, Monday morning, I think it was a huge bombshell. I mean, just last week we were talking about how prepared to be bored with tech news this week because August is always a slow month. And Monday morning, Google goes and buys itself Motorola.
Yeah, Motorola Mobility. Yeah. Not to confuse with the other Motorola branch.
Right. Everyone's kind of looking at this in awe as it's a huge purchase. Is it $12.5 billion they're buying it for, I believe, or is it $14.5?
Yes, $12.5 billion.
$12.5 billion. Cash, mind you. They're paying cash, not like here's some stock options. They're just buying it outright. I guess they can do what they want when you have that much money. But, I mean, I've seen a ton of news on this and just, like, what are they doing with it? Like, what's the point? Like, a lot of people think, well, they're buying it for the patents because, as if you've listened to us recently, you know patents have been a huge issue for everyone. And Motorola had quite, I think they have somewhere in the range of 1,200 patents or something.
I think
1,400.
Yeah, is it collectively 1,200 or?
Said it was going to boost Google's patents to about 2,000. So.
Oh, wow.
And that'll put it on par with Microsoft and actually put it ahead of Apple a little. But as of right now, they're saying that they're gonna run Motorola as a separate entity still, and of course everyone wants to know, well, what is this gonna do for Android? Right now, Android is pushed out on HTC phones, Samsung phones, obviously Motorola phones, and anyone who wants it. Essentially, it's open source. They're just like, whatever, here you go. And so there's a ton of what's going to happen with Motorola. You look at the Nexus S, or the Nexus phones, which are Google's, flagship phones for Android. Mm-hmm. HTC had one and Samsung had one, and the next one was supposedly going to Motorola anyway, but it's like, how could they not give Motorola their best phones now?
That's true.
Android, all the partners, everyone came out that day with like these pre-scripted, little tidbits. Always supports Google, and we know that they're committed to, keeping us safe from patent problems and building the Android ecosystem. But was it who does The Windows phones.
Taking them on Nokia?
Nokia, yeah. I think it was Nokia that came out and said, well, this just strengthens our commitment to Windows. Because obviously they know that. I don't see it being a problem, but at some point in the future, I think it's going to come down to the line of, well, we're running both businesses. It just makes sense for us to go. I mean, you see, I think, and we've talked about before, the fragmentation in Android and the fact that the reason that Apple is as solid as it is because they make the hardware and the software to work together. I mean, it's when you have one piece of software to fit on all these different hardwares, they don't interact quite the same. There's always little intricacies that you have to patch. And
sure.
And I think that eventually they're going to see that model and be like, well, maybe.
Do you think they're going to do that with the Motorola type phones, with the Motorola hardware? They're just going to come out with the Google phone and just build like a standard of some sort?
It's hard to say. I mean, it's so up in the air. I mean, a lot of people think that this came out of nowhere as blindsided, but not that long ago, I mean, people were talking about Windows buying Motorola, or Microsoft, I shouldn't say Windows, Microsoft buying Motorola. And I mean, maybe Google's like, oh, we're already so far behind in the patent issue here that we should just swoop them up. But a lot of people think, well, why didn't they just buy the patents? They probably could have got them cheaper, but especially since Motorola was actually not profitable last quarter, it's hard to say. I mean, there's a lot. I've seen every scenario possible coming out of this. I mean, and Motorola also makes set-top cable boxes.
Sure.
And so then they think maybe, I mean, Google TV's been sort of a bust up until now. Maybe somehow they can incorporate that, or
I mean, add the price to my Comcast bill.
To have Google TV? I mean,
with my Motorola box, they start slapping that on there too.
I mean, it's hard to say what's really going to happen. I mean, right now they just keep saying, you know, we just want to build Android's ecosystem. We want to strengthen ourselves.
Well, it seems like now in this day of age, you know, you can, money used to be the power, but now it's who has the most patents.
And especially lately, it's like it's just been a patent frenzy. I mean, and if you've listened to our show the last few weeks, I mean, it's been a topic every week. We can't avoid it right now in the industry as a news item.
No, I mean, there's literally a patent war, and I wish we could bring up, actually we don't have anyone in chat, but we could, you know, bring up and show, you know, that there's an actual map that someone had made.
I'll put a link on the website tomorrow, because it is very, it's very, I'll put it up, maybe I can put it up with the post with the podcast, but
possible, yeah. I mean, whatever, but it's interesting just to see like who's suing who, because like after like so many months of it, it just becomes noise. You're like, what?
None, I mean, and then as soon as anyone sues, I mean, Apple sues Samsung, well, Samsung sues Apple back. I mean, HTC sues Samsung, Samsung sues them back. I mean, it's just
injunctions are being filed, and
I mean, it's just crazy. Everywhere.
I think for Google, this is just a smart move to just acquire just a treasure trove of patents. I mean, they're saying that there is more than 17,000 approved patents, and then there's another 7,500 pending that they're going to get off of this.
It's a ton of patents.
Yeah, and considering this is Motorola, I mean, these guys were the first handset maker for cellular devices.
Right.
I mean, they were at the beginning. So, I mean, if they could include some of those patents into what they already have existing.
And it also makes you wonder. I mean, there's so many like we're talking about with so many lawsuits, it's like, well, Motorola has outstanding lawsuits with every company as it is right now, and with Google also battling them all, I mean, will it become, like, how is that going to end up working out in the legal battles, and what effect is it going to have? I mean, and they talked a lot about the whole Oracle and Google situation that we talked about last week.
Yeah, and the licensing issue with Java and such.
And so it's hard to say what is going to become of it all. We'll have to wait and see what Google does. I mean, there's an interesting article I read where they compared it to Apple. When Apple, in the late 80s, early 90s, they put out the Apple software and they were licensing, but they realized, you know, that then they started losing the hardware, you know, and so they said, screw it, we're just going to do everything ourselves, hardware and software, keep them together. And look what that's become. I mean, it's hard to say that it down the line, there's not going to come the day when they're like, it just doesn't make sense. We need to just do both. We're losing money to ourselves. We're competing with ourselves, essentially, you know, which is the same problem they're going to have with the tablet space, but
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem that Google is facing is that they're thinking that that if they could build a platform that was open source, it could be cheap, it could undercut Apple in some way, it would make it extensible, and it could run on any piece of hardware. You would be, you know, stuck with just, you know, some touch screen without a QWERTY keyboard if you prefer that. But what they're seeing now is that open source kind of has some skeletons in the closet, because a lot of it is either copied or contributed, but it's freely distributed. And there's some things that were patented and there's some things that weren't patented, and you get in this battle where, okay, yeah, it's open source, but now we need to start licensing some of these things that were plugged into this open source operating system, and it becomes no longer free in some sense, because now you got to increase the price of the phone, or you have to, you know, incur some type of charge just to make the operation worthwhile. So I mean, it's kind of an idea. If the open source idea is nice in like a perfect world, but with one that is just riddled with
litigation,
lawyers and litigation, it's like you can't even have communist approach to software. I mean, everyone wants their dollar. I mean,
and then it comes down to, it's just, they're running a business, they need to make money, and it's going to come down to the fact that where can we make the most money is by putting out the best phones, limiting the options, and making the money on the hardware and the software. And it's hard for me to not see it happening.
Yeah.
For eventually Android to become closed, if it were. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, I don't even think that there would be much downfall if Android would be closed at this point. I mean, if they just closed it off and said, okay, well, here's the base. You know, we're not going to allow you to get down to the underpinnings of Android and, you know, let you modify it, throw your own little GUI interface, which a lot of different handset makers do. I don't think there's going to be much of a backlash. I mean, I don't see people looking out there and saying, like, well, I like, you know, Sony's interface or whatever interface, you know, that they strapped on top of Android. I mean, people just like Android for what it is. So I don't know.
And Motorola makes good phones. That's not an, you know, they make quality handsets. They've been in the game, like you said, forever. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, it's all gonna be, yeah. It'll just be time. It'll just take time to see what happens. But yeah, and it's funny because just yesterday too, I saw there's another patent issue. I mean, Kodak at this point is kind of fallen from grace, let's say, in the camera world. I mean, Kodak was the thing. I mean, they made film.
Yep.
That was it. But who buys film anymore, right? And so, I mean, they make cameras, but you have Samsung make cameras. I mean, and obviously they have a strong technology base. And then, you know, you have all your Canons and your Nikons. I mean, they've kind of lost their camera market.
And I've seen, like, the Kodak Digitals just seem like the lower end of the line.
Oh, and then they do make super cheap cameras.
Yeah.
In both senses, in quality and in cost. You can get a cheap Kodak, but, I mean, and they tried to start out on top of the game. They were right on top of the, you know, set your camera here and print right from it thing. Because, again, it goes back to the filmmaking. Yep. I mean, that's what they do, right? But at this point, they're... patent portfolio has become worth more than the company itself, and so they are starting to sell them. I mean, they're going to start auctioning them off,
which is crazy.
I mean that's where their money lies, I guess. That's what they're going to do. I mean, it sort of makes sense, but
to the post that he had added, I mean, it's kind of sad. I mean, you think Kodak, you think film, you think your, I don't know, your camera that your mom had, and they just didn't make, I don't know. I mean, I guess I've lost sight of what Kodak has been doing all this time. Because, I mean, they had was it Kodak that had Polaroid? No, Polaroid had Polaroids themselves. But
but Kodak, like we were talking about, I mean, it's just always been the film staple, you know? Yeah. I think when film started to die, so did Kodak. I mean, they made digital cameras, but there's so many more electronics companies that make better... When it became the digital thing, I mean, like Samsung. I mean, obviously Samsung knows how to make electronics, you know. I mean, Kodak had film. It's a different ballpark, and they just couldn't keep up, I think.
Honestly, when I think Kodak, I think of those old school cardboard cameras that you'd bring up to summer camp with you.
Yeah.
You would throw it in with your socks and you pull
your disposables.
Crank the little little wheel and
And because, see, the hardware didn't matter, right? Yep. It was all about the film. Yeah. And see, and that's exactly what they're probably, I think. I'm sure, though, in the camera sense, I bet they have a ton of patents, which is obviously why. I mean, they've been around forever.
Yeah,
Kodachrome.
1,100 patents valued at $3 billion.
I mean, and at this point, it's apparently worth more than their company is. So why not sell them? It's a logical step, but it's sad to see a company fall so low. I don't know.
So I guess we can shift over to kind of shift gears here. Pulling up an article that was on the Register. Talking about the IBM PC Daddy saying the PC era is over. One of the dozen engineers who designed the original IBM PC, which celebrated 30-year anniversary last Friday, said that the reign of the personal computer is going to come to an end. It says that it's going to go to the vacuum tubes as like the typewriter, the vinyl recorders, the CRTs, the incandescent light bulbs. So according to him, he's saying PCs, personal computers, they're done. They're ancient.
So does that include laptops then, I would assume?
I would assume so.
I think that falls into that same category. So what does he think that we will be only seeing tablets and smartphones then? Is that kind of the direction he would assume we are headed?
I said he's saying that the use of the tablet has become like his primary computer. So yeah, so probably like a tablet and maybe something in conjunction with a smartphone. Which is kind of an interesting thing because a lot of people think that tablets are just a fad. And then also like the ultra slim type PCs are also a fad as well.
I think it's all hard to, I mean, the tablet space obviously is exploding right now. But I think people thought smartphones at a point were a fad too. I mean, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact of just data in general, web browsing is becoming, more web browsing is from smartphones than computers, right? I mean, the mobile market is so huge right now that how many people own a smartphone that don't, as weird as it is, have internet?
Right.
I mean, we talked about that a while ago, but I think it falls in the same lines that, I mean, people are more likely to buy, I mean, for what? In my opinion, it's just like the Chromebooks. Like, obviously people, the computer's becoming internet-based. I mean, look what Google's doing. Google Docs, I mean, there's all that stuff. And then everybody's moving to the cloud, right? And so we don't need as much computing power. I mean, it's more of a professional market now, I think, than anything. Or a hardcore gaming market. Because even gamers, I think, are moving more to the casual gaming of tablets and phones.
But no, I mean, I guess I'm kind of split on where I don't really necessarily think that the computer is completely gone away with. I think the tablet market has brought in like just a interesting niche that no one ever saw. No one thought that between the space. I mean, even when the iPad first came out,
everyone said it was doomed. This is the stupidest thing ever.
This is by far the dumbest thing. And like, why would you want like a larger version of your phone in between like that and your laptop? Like, everyone saw it as no space. But when you add on the app environment, you can get all these casual games that you can do that are very friendly with the touch environment.
And everyone, you know, always pointed at it as it being a consumer product, a consumption machine, not a creation machine. But I think that's starting to change, too. I think the way people are using them, I think it's, I mean, how much more convenient is it? I mean, they're using it on planes now for, like, maps. I mean, that's just crazy, right?
I mean, for certain things, like, where, like, the touch interface is, like, tolerable, I mean, I could see, like, you know, with plain, like, just, like, a map in general. I mean, that's easy to do some of the gestures and pinch and zoom, whatever it is that you do on an iPad. But when you get down to, like, typing and then, like, typing an email or, like, a note, like, I was trained in school to use a keyboard, and now I got to use my thumbs, like, on top of that, and then it just becomes more inefficient, and I don't know, it's... I see the tablet staying around for a while because that casual gaming market and web browsing is at least tolerable on it. But when you got to get down and actually edit and do something other than watch a video, I don't know. It just I see myself wanting to go back to like a keyboard and mouse. Like,
and I completely agree with that. I use my iPad regularly, but there are definite times when I much prefer a keyboard and mouse. But again, I think your general consumer, well, I'd say even in school, though, I'd say you need a keyboard still. I mean, you're writing papers. But to the mobile environment of it, I think, is becoming such a, like, I don't think slim notebooks are, I think like the MacBook Airs and the Chromebooks are really going to be the big hits now. I think the small, the portable, they're tiny, and they're, well, with the Chromebooks, they're cheap. There are downfalls of the Chromebooks being not able to really do anything without an internet connection, but the fact that everything is so mobile, I think, is what's leading. I don't think it's the PC itself. I think it's just moving to a not so much of a based in one spot thing, like with the PCs of old, like, you know, your tower, you can't leave your house. Like, I think it's moving. I think the mobile market is what's the big thing, not necessarily tablets. Although tablets are making a ton of money, unless you're HP, but it's neither here nor there.
Or any other competitor.
Right. I mean, and like we said, I mean, Apple came in and created the market in essence, but I don't know. I don't think it's a fad either. I think people are finding very reasonable applications to use them. I mean, from everything from, like we said, pilots to in school or with kids with special needs like autism and stuff, that they find it so helpful, you know, something to interact with at such a basic level that, and not just Apple either, even though, as everyone that's ever listened knows, I'm a huge Apple fan, but I can be unbiased. I mean, the Android tabs, there's definitely good tabs out there. They just don't have the app network that Apple does, and I think that's really what's killer right now. And I feel like I'm way off topic. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. But
I was just going to swing it over to Matt here and just say, as like a, I don't know, like, how would you rate yourself as like a technological guy? Or how do you view the tablets and, you know?
I'm always behind the curve, and that's usually intentional in that I don't have the money to jump in right away with both feet and be like, you know what, I can just go out and buy myself an iPad here. I just kind of wait till they get that price drop.
And make sure that it's like, it's a solid,
it's stick.
It's here to stay, not just a fad like we're talking about.
The other nice thing in doing that too is then you kind of get you get in when it's reached the point where they've kind of worked out the kinks. You know, like when the iPod first came out, it was kind of clunky. And then, so I got on when you get the first iPod Video. And I kind of wish I had the Touch and all the other new stuff they have now. But yeah, I love the tablets, and it's fun to see what they can do. I have a relative who's a realtor, and I mean, that's become his primary tool for work, in that he can just show up at a house and pop on there and, oh, here's all the pictures of it. Oh, you don't like this? Here's another one we could go see. And that's become something really valuable for him. I got a 70-year-old aunt who just this week bought an Acer tablet. You know, she's seen him use it, and it's kind of like, oh, well, I want to be able to read books on the go, and, you know, I can show movies to the grandkids when they're out at the cabin with me. And, you know, it's really become so mainstream, and it's moved beyond the geeks, kind of, you know.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think the adoption is widespread,
yeah,
in that sense. Like, it's just anyone is using it for, I mean, and it is becoming like a multimedia type device. I mean, you can watch videos, you can listen to even music on it if you really wanted, yep, to be like a large version of your iPhone. But
but I mean, if you're carrying it around with you anyway, why not, right?
Sure.
And then, as you mentioned earlier, there's the education applications to it too.
I mean, yeah.
I remember when they first came out, talking to a friend of mine who was a fifth grade teacher, and he was getting a grant in his building to be the teacher, kind of piloting using them in the classroom. And, you know, the parents were amazed at what they were doing, and, you know, the kids loved how they were able to.
And the thing is, like, with the touch application, I think, is where it really hits off. I mean, it's so fundamental that you can just touch, move something. Like, it's like you don't have to think about how you have to move the mouse. Like, that seems so abstract. It's not abstract, because it's normal, but you know what I mean? Like,
it's just more natural.
It's much more natural, yeah. And there are tons of applications. I mean, even doctors have been using it. Like, you can show, like, well, this is what your x-ray looks like. You don't have to have the lighted background. I mean, with just the digital world now in general, I think. And, I mean, we were talking to Moses last week after our podcast, and he was telling us, you know, every meeting he goes to, everyone has a tablet out, an iPad, you know. Nobody uses, like, you know, paper and pencil anymore. It's just all on the tablet. I mean, it's all Whether or not they're just sitting there playing Angry Birds or paying attention to the meeting is up in the air. But, I mean, it's just, it's become like, and I mean, I guess at that point you could see it as a fad too. I mean, are they all just doing it because, well, that's what everybody's doing. That's the cool thing to have at the meeting, whatever.
You know, in some sense, when they, like, you drag them into a meeting, I'm like, is it really conveniencing like you, or is it becoming more of a status symbol, I guess, is what
right.
I see. I mean, even at our work, like, it's like the vice presidents, the president, and then like the vice presidents adopt it. And it's like, you know, it's kind of spreading in that respect, kind of downward, as we're, I mean, we have one at work that I use, you know, sparsely, but when I first had it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is awesome. Had it at my desk, was like playing around with the internet. And after a while, I was just like, kind of done with it, you know, for like everyday use. But
I mean, it has its applications and it has its downfalls, obviously. I mean, right. Working on, I mean, like, obviously, like, with network stuff and software, like, developing, and that's what back to my point, I guess, of it being a professional, PCs becoming a professional device instead of a consumer device, because the people that need that extra hardware of the keyboard and mouse aren't necessarily...
Sure. I mean, like,
the world is becoming, the internet has become browsing, computing has become internet browsing for consumers, in my mind.
So, no, that makes sense. I mean, because obviously if you're, even though that there's a Final Cut Pro version for iPad, or there is one coming out.
iMovie. You can get iMovie right now. iMovie. And you can edit video. I mean.
But to like the level that Final Cut on a PC. I
right.
mean, yeah, obviously, yeah. I mean, that goes back to your you know, your idea, your analogy that it's just a
professional device.
Professional as opposed to consumer. So, no, I get that, and I agree with that as well.
But. Well, I mean, time will tell, of course. I mean, everyone, like we said, I mean, everyone thought that tablets were silly when Apple made theirs, and they can't make enough to keep up. So they sold, that last one they had I can't think of what it's called, but when they, you know, when they had their second quarter or presentation, whatever, when they're talking about their profits and whatever, they said, we sold every tablet we could make. Like, they can't keep up. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, if people are getting stabbed and mulled up, like...
Like, waiting in line, like, people are killing... Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's beyond.
But, yeah. And while we're on the topic of tablets being fads, I guess, we all know Apple is owning the market, but so much so that HP's touchpads that launched, a month and a half ago, are now... HP is killing WebOS.
I vaguely remember someone releasing a demo product of the touchpad being out in like a Texas Best Buy, like it kind of just like a promo, like a just like the demonstration model, and now it's being like Best Buy's like, we can't sell these, and they're like, take them back, like all of our stock, like
yeah. Best Buy earlier this week they were like, we can't even sell these, like it was announced earlier, and then. Today, there's a ton of HP news that came out today, and I think we're kind of going to wait to see where it all falls, but essentially what came out today is they're killing WebOS, they're potentially selling their whole PC department, and they're just backing enterprise business altogether. They bought some company, I can't remember the name.
I can figure it
for
out.
For like $10 billion. Dollars and
I think it was like Autonomy or something.
Yeah.
It
was just a crazy day today watching. I just watched Twitter explode. And it amused me, but they bought Palm a year and a half ago, and they're pretty much just killing their full phone department. They're done with the tabs. They're just like, well, it's not gaining traction. Well, it's been a month. What do you expect to happen in a month? I mean,
yeah, I mean, this is kind of like a complete revamp. I mean, they're even thinking about the personal computing systems being kind of spun off or sold. Or becoming like an independent company.
Yeah, they're talking about. I mean, they said it's going to take the next 12 to 18 months to fully see their plan, but it's just, yeah, it's just a crazy, crazy day for HP.
So, but. I mean, if anything, like, if the Android and Apple dominance in handsets and tablets is this, you know, destructive on Hewlett Packard, I mean, is it? I mean, I see this as something that RIM is gonna RIM is gonna have to follow suit with this. I mean, if there are Blackberries that come out that are being, you know, released in a few weeks here, if no one buys them, I mean, they're going to be kind of in the same situation where they're going to have to be like, well, now we need to kind of redesign our marketing strategy and our, you know, our development.
Right.
I mean, if anything, this is probably just forecasting exactly what RIM is going to have to go through with.
And it's funny. The other thing is, like, right now there's essentially five smartphone softwares. There's WebOS, there's Windows 7, there's RIM, and there's Apple and Android. Well, this essentially just brought it down to a four-party game. And how long is RIM going to last in that?
Yeah.
I mean, they're already having their issues as it is with everything, but...
Yeah, I mean, the playbook was... I mean, that flopped without, you know, some kind of, like, app ecosystem.
They didn't even cater to their market with it. I mean, there was no native email app. There was... I mean, that RIM is for... Like, their bread and butter is the business world, and they just didn't take advantage of that with the playbook.
Which is kind of sad. I mean, a lot of our CEO or a lot of our vice presidents at work, they have BlackBerries, and it is by far the most annoying thing to deal with a BlackBerry. Like, you have no idea how convoluted, like, it's set up to like to interact with Exchange. Like, every single time I pick up a BlackBerry, I'm like, I hate this thing. Like, why don't you just get an iPhone? Why can't you get an Android? And, like, the contracts are ending up, and everyone, like, in fall is either going to go to an Android or an iPhone.
It's not looking good for RIM, to say the least. And the fact that, yeah, I mean, RIM's just has a hard road ahead of them, I think. That's just what it is. We've talked about it.
If I had to make a prediction, the same headline, we just need a sub in RIM here, says goodbye to handsets and tablets. I mean, cut and paste and
it's funny because both Apple and Google know that RIM's days are numbered, and they're both aiming at the enterprise world. They know that's where they need to hit to get ahead, and it's sad because RIM RIM was the go-to. It's like the Kodak thing. RIM was the first smartphone, the real first smartphone. You know, the BlackBerries for a long time were synonymous with smartphones. You could say, oh, I have a smartphone, and people would just assume you had a BlackBerry. And now it's just the opposite of that. Like, you have a BlackBerry.
It kind of makes me wonder, like, what BlackBerry was, what RIM was doing all this time with their BlackBerry line. Like, I mean, when the iPhone first came out, it didn't have, like, email support for the enterprise level, like, right away. I think it came out in version 3. Like iPhone version 3, if I remember right, or maybe 2-something, some iteration of 2. 2 or 3,
right. And not the first level, for sure.
Yeah, so it wasn't out of the gate. And then even Android was kind of the same situation where it was on some phones and it wasn't on others, but most of the recent phones now have good enterprise-level Exchange
they're
support.
They're both definitely trying to amp up their enterprise powers. Yeah. Like, they're both trying to, and I really think that whichever one can say, prove that they're the most secure is what it'll come down to for that whole market. But yeah, like you said, I think 6 months or less, I think we'll see the same title. Quarter four, RIM calls it quits.
All right,
but
let's see. Let's
but
move
in,
on.
In other tablet news.
In other tablet news. So last week we were talking about how Apple was able to file an injunction on the Galaxy Tab 10.1, but now that has been lifted in the European Union.
Except for, I heard that for some reason Germany still isn't allowing them to be sold.
Yeah, and what I vaguely understand there is that it's just different litigation
because
laws
they're
or
Nazis?
Something.
No,
we're not going to take that front since this is a public show.
No, German litigation, I think, from what I understood too, is just a little bit different the way their laws work and stuff. But and it's come to light that, like, people are trying to say that, you know, Apple used essentially loaded dice in the evidence file. They're trying to say that they're intentionally showing, like, pictures of, like, because as Android has drawers, when you turn on your tablet, your iPad, or your iPhone, and any iOS device, you're automatically in your apps, right? That's just, you're either locked or you're in your apps. But with Android, they have, like, a home screen, and then you can open, they call it the drawer, you, like, slide it up, and there's your apps, right? And so what they're saying is that every picture that they filed to show the similarities, they showed it drawer open. Like, so every picture looked like they had all their apps laying on the screen, like how iOS runs. And
sure,
there's a few other things, but I've heard it also pointed out that, well, if you ever see any ads for the Zoom, they show it that way too. they do it themselves. So
I mean, from a marketing standpoint, I mean, obviously their competitor is going to be Apple. So, I mean, they got to make it look,
right,
you know, similar and enticing as the Apple is, as the iPad is itself. But I mean, even to go any further than that, I mean, they're showing that in some of the evidence that they're filing, that they were actually fattening the Galaxy Tab to be more of a 1.3. Was it the iPad 2 is in a 1.30 ratio?
1.43 and 1.69.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. So yeah. So I don't know. It was kind of shifty on their part to say, well, I mean, the designs are the same because, you know, our evidence shows them being like exactly identical in dimensions when they're, you know, in reality not.
It's just, again, back to the whole patents suing everyone and litigation, and you can't escape it right now. I mean, it's the hot thing in tech right now. It's sue everybody else.
Well, it's even beyond screw tech. It. I was reading something about two major hot dog companies pursuing each other.
Patents? You patented our
wasn't
hot dog?
Patented. It was based on like advertisements of them just putting each other down. I think it was Ballpark and maybe Oscar Mayer. But I was just getting a kick reading it. Yeah. Two hot dog companies even suing each other
nowadays.
It's
society. I mean, it's sad, really, but they think the only way to make money is to sue everyone else into bankruptcy, I guess. I don't know. It's just, that's what it is. But I guess in other Apple news, we talked before about Lion only being available in the Mac App Store, but we had said that supposedly they were going to launch a USB, but it has finally come out. So right now you can get a USB with Lion on it for $69 from Apple, but it's only $30 for the download. So if you can do that, it's obviously much better, instead of buying the USB drive.
I mean, I guess the USB drive that gives you like a restore point, but you can build a restore CD.
Yep, it automatically. Yourself. Yep, you can build a you can do a CD, and it automatically like sets up a restore partition. And I think to some extent it does it on the web too. Like I didn't follow fully what they were talking about, but I know that
you could likely make either. You could make your own thumb drive if you really wanted to.
Yeah, instead of paying essentially $40 for a USB drive,
right. I mean,
you can get one.
What is the point of this then?
Well, because they were only selling it over the internet before, and now they're saying, well, if you really want a physical media to install it, you can buy this, but it's $70 instead of $30, which seems crazy, right?
Yeah.
Because you could download it.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
And
like,
and even if you don't have that great of internet, they allow you to go download it at the Apple Store to use their internet.
I think, I mean, this is like Apple's. They always did this. I mean, they did this back with a floppy drive when the iMac didn't have a floppy drive. And I was like, what are we going to do? Where are we going to save our stuff? Like, but, I mean, this is them just saying, well, the idea of CDs is now going to kind of go away.
Well, and we talked about that before with them taking the optical drive out of the Mac Mini. So they're kind of saying F you to physical software.
Yeah, which was kind of a downer because, like, if you were to get the Mac Mini with, a Blu-ray player, I mean, that would have been the ultimate, like, home theater PC.
Media machine.
I mean, I was looking at them, like, a few years ago because I need something that plays Hulu, also has, like, access to the iTunes store, and if I could get, like, a Blu-ray player in combination with that, I mean, that thing would be, like, a powerhouse.
It seems like Apple, being Apple, decided, well, yeah, we could probably make a lot of money off that, but F it. We're going to make people do what we want.
Yeah.
So we're just going to take away the physical optical drive altogether.
It seems like they're just channeling everyone in through their own like app store.
But hey, check
iTunes.
Out this, Thunderbolt port.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
And then in Mac rumors, since that's a staple to our show apparently at this point.
What's all been Mac? Well, I guess iPhone in general has been nothing but a rumor.
Yeah, but now supposedly they're testing 4G LTE iPhones. Like, they always let the upper people at the carriers, and then at Apple, of course, always get like test phones to test out. But supposedly people are testing out. That's the latest rumor. And then recently, I also saw someone said that they're installing LTE network stuff in Apple stores. And then also they were, I've seen a rumor of an LTE, like MacBook Air type computer with a little flip up antenna, which would be interesting if they I mean, Google does it now with their Chromebooks. They send out a, you can get a Chromebook with 3G with what, you know, the hotspot and whatever. But if Apple did it, I guess that'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I read another post saying that it's not uncommon that you're going to see, like, test versions of your iPhone being testing all the new types of
right. And I mean, it might not even be signal. Even if they are testing it, it might not be this next iPhone that launches. It could be the following, you know. Right. I mean,
they were testing the iPhone 4 like a year before they actually launched it.
Right. And then there was one other. I heard recently that supposedly they're not going to push this iPad 3 in the fall now because they're having problems getting all the displays for the Retina displays they wanted. So they're going to push that back to next year now, is the rumor, which puts it in line with where it was already. But it's like people building up rumors just to knock them down again. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's like, well, we need stories. So what can we say about Apple?
Well, it's kind of, I don't know. I mean, there's a story that was building on how they're now buying Sharp. They're buying like a certain
Sharp
factory
instead of Samsung.
Which they're thinking that the deals with Samsung are getting a little dicey because they're suing them as of right now.
Because of all the litigation again.
Right.
Back to that.
So now they're looking at Sharp, which makes a fine, good LCD display. So
yeah, I mean, there's actually been a date floating around now for the this Mac event that's going to happen. They really do always have an event in the fall, but it's always been iPod-based and music-based at the beginning of September. So we'll see. I mean, I've seen some dates. My personal guess, September 7th, we'll have an event. A new iPhone will launch early October, I think. I think October, we'll say 6th, because that's my birthday. So just for me. I think legitimately though, a month after the event,
iPhone 5 or 4S with a bow tie from Steve Jobs to Mike,
mailed in the mail.
Yep.
Brought to my door day one.
Yeah, with a hands carrier, like, yeah, right to Mike.
And then a voice message with it, you know.
There you go. Yeah. Happy birthday, Michael. Steve Jobs.
You're the best
and
day
yes
ever.
I'm still wearing a turtleneck. I live in California.
So that's enough of Apple rumors for now, huh?
I think so. And I think I'm going to skip over the two different Facebook, Google Plus stuff.
Yeah.
I think we can jump right into the Wii Small.
We announced
a price cut
yesterday, but I think this is only in Europe as of right now. But for Christmas, they're coming out with a slimmer design, and I believe it does come with a price cut. It's all in pounds, so it's hard to tell what's going on.
I thought it was it already went down to 200, so would it go down to 150?
I think it dropped $50. But now, yeah, they say they are not going to ship it in America though. But the slimmer Wii is losing its GameCube reverse.
The compatibility.
Backwards compatibility.
Compatibility.
So, I mean, you're losing that, but it's smaller, which it's small. I mean, the thing's tiny already. I don't really understand.
I can't see it making a huge difference.
I mean, I'm sure it's just the software's getting better. I mean, the hardware's a little better, so it seems easy enough. But
it looks like it's shipped with the Wii Plus controllers?
Yeah, I think that's
the one with the built-in,
the extra sensor.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And then on that same note, PlayStation's cutting their prices.
It seems to be the case, like, as they're preparing a new system. You know, well, you have the Wii U coming out soon.
Right. And I think also, it's the head toward the holiday market is coming. So I think they want to start selling them now. I mean, there's people that shop this early, I think. But they dropped it to $249, $50 down from $300. I know that the Xbox also had a slight change to, they have the new slimmer ones now that they sell. And they're a shiny, glossy black, and now they're going to be only flat black, which just seems odd, change. But apparently they just don't like fingerprints. I don't know. So they're just getting rid of that altogether. But I don't know. We'll see the push for the holiday season, I think. I don't think there's a PS4 coming out anytime soon, although the Wii U is supposed to come out next year.
Yeah.
But I think that's almost, if you will, a 3G to a 3GS type of stand. I think really they're adding a controller. I don't think the hardware itself is really getting that great of an upgrade. I think it's pushing it up to the current level of the Xbox and the PS3, but
And I've seen also the handhelds have been dropping as well.
They cut their 3DS. And I think that went into effect.
Portables dropping as well, because they have their new one coming
the,
out.
The Vita.
Yep.
The Vita, however you want to say. I don't know.
I think it is Vita. Vita. Yeah.
Vita.
PlayStation Vita. Yep.
V-I-T-A. Ooh. Take it as you will. But yeah, the 3DS is cut. They announced the cut a while ago, but it officially happened, I believe, last Friday. And also, if you had bought it before and you were hoping to get a games, you're out of luck now. I think that also ended that same day. So, but they dropped their price. And they have seen a rise in sales since then, actually. They had their best week since the cut, is what I've heard. So maybe it's working for them, or maybe people are like, at that price, why not?
I heard it had a big increase over in Japan. I didn't hear if it was stateside as well.
But, yeah. But I think that pretty much wraps up our news.
Yeah, pretty much covers everything that I had here on our docket.
I mean, with Randy being gone, I'm sure next week we'll definitely delve back into the whole Google Motorola thing. Because
yeah, we might have, neglected it a little bit. But
he's so sick of the Apple news that I'm sure he'll take the chance to talk about his beloved Google.
Wave his flag some.
Yeah, you know. It's been a pretty crazy week actually this week for tech. I mean, Google-rola, the Google-rola exchange, and
I was trying to wonder where you're going with that, and I'm like, oh, there we go, you just meshed Google-rola. Them together,
and then the HP just coming out and saying, you know what, let's do enterprises and printers. But yeah, because today was crazy in itself. I will find that picture of the patent wars.
Yeah, we'll who's suing it. Who?
Yeah, and I'll put that up. I'll probably put it up with the post of the podcast. So if you're listening to this and you got it from iTunes, you should go to our site, bleedgeek.com, and it should be just pretty close to the page. You'll find it easy enough. It's just an interesting little infographic for you if you want to see the visualization of everybody suing everybody. And while you're there, you know, check out everything else. We'll try to keep some interesting stories. I still don't put up my messaging story. I'll get that up this weekend, though, for sure. So check that out. My thoughts on the current situation in the messaging world.
Yep. And then if you have any thoughts, concerns, questions, something you need troubleshooting on PC, you know, shoot us an email at fans@bleedgeek.com.
That's the correct.
Yeah, and we'll respond to you if we can. We'll even maybe air it if it's a good question or concern, or even like an article that you want to submit. So yeah, reach us at fans@bleedgeek.com.
Or if you want to call us, you can leave us a voicemail at 406-79-GEEKS. I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember what the digits are, but I know that's our phone number. Leave us a voicemail, and we would play it if it's, you know, legitimate and has potential tech news, whatever, let us know. Or if you want to, you know, give us some constructive criticism or compliments or whatever, feel free to sign up for the newsletter on our site as well. And of course, we have our Facebook page. You can follow Facebook/BleedGeek and @BleedGeek on Twitter.
And you can follow us independently on Twitter. I'm @HammockTime with a Y instead of an I.
I am @Mike037. I don't think Matt has a Twitter. He should probably jump on that boat.
Matt will have a Twitter account.
And then, of course, we're starting up our new football podcast. I should hopefully have that up within the week. We recorded a lot of stuff for today, so look for that if you're wondering who you should pick in your upcoming draft.
Yeah, it sounds a little better.
seemed a little redundant, but I think it's the right wording. But neither here nor there.
Hopefully we'll start getting some stuff up on the website, article-wise.
Yep, and then once the season goes, we'll have a weekly podcast going up every week like we do for this one. So if you want to check that out by itself, it's thepointafterattempt.com.
You can hear me swear at the Patriots and praise the Jets.
And hear Josh tell you about how he loves Mike Vick. But other than that, I think that's it, huh?
I think it's pretty much it.
Thanks for allowing me to hang out tonight.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
Thanks for standing in. It was great.
I'm sure
we'll see more of you.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
All right. I am Mike Earle.
And I'm Patrick McGivern.
And I'm Matt Fowler.
And have a good night.
Thank you.